those words next time. And I'll go wireless and step out here and make sure we're not too loud. We'll get this right. You betcha. But I am very excited about it. We've moved along here, and it's getting a lot better. Well, today's message, as written on the bulletin, is about provision. And so many people come to the Lord wanting His provisions and His power, but they just don't want to do it His way. You know what I'm saying. But what you say to God, what you say is real. It has value. It has weight. So when you talk to God, realize your words have to line up with your heart. When we make that honest choice to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, God will give His power and His provisions and His heart and His will to do His will to you. And this is a commandment of blessing on our lives and our family in Scripture. If we're truthful in our unity with God, to believe in Him, and not just truth, but in spirit, deep down inside. I'll give you an example. In Scripture, David wrote, watch me walk off and forget my glasses again. I got a pair up here, I know I do. In Psalms 35, if you care to follow along, but that's okay. I'm going to read it anyway. I have been young, and I have been old, and in all of my years I have never seen the Lord forsake a man who loves Him, nor have I seen the child of the godly go hungry. Instead, the godly are able to be generous with their gifts and loans to others, and their children our blessings. So as we read in here, we start learning that God we look at this and we find that God talks to us, and sometimes we miss what He says. So when I see this, I see I have been young and I have been old. Well, to coin personality here in the room, said once or twice to me in person, Leroy would say, I've been around a while. That's what he's saying here. David's saying in Scripture, I've seen a lot. So this is not when he was a young man hurting. This is it towards the end part of his life. And so when we go to those Scriptures, He's never forsaken a believer. Instead, the godly are generous. Have you ever seen anybody that's really walking with the Lord, that the Lord just walked away and left them standing there? They may go through trials, but they always, when they're really walking with the Lord, come out the other side praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. If you're not praising the Lord, if you're yelling at the Lord, then you're not aware of what the Scripture says God's here to do for you. You're trying to make Him do something that He's not going to do if you're yelling at the Lord. So we go on here to verse 28. For the Lord loves justice and fairness, and He will never abandon His people, and they will be kept safe forever, but all who love wickedness shall perish. First of all, I want you to notice he uses the word love and justice and fairness. If you come from a family of several children, you know that sometimes your parents have to just be fair. It might not be just, but there's only so much to go around once in a while. We're not talking about God. We're understanding fairness, equality, equally in the house of God. But the thing that really got me is that he didn't let the wicked escape in this scripture. He picked on them intentionally. We're going to get back to that in a minute. The next verse says, firmly planted in the land. Another way of saying it, like we did with Leroy, where Jesus said, where I go, you go also. If Jesus is in us, then He is here right now. Do you understand that train of thinking? That He is with you, He is here. Where He goes, we all go. So in the end times, He'll be in New Jerusalem, we'll be in New Jerusalem. But for right now, He's abiding in each one of us. Now, if we filled up this place with neighbors, not everybody in here would be carrying the Spirit of God. You see the distinction I'm drawing here between you and the person next to you. If they're not walking with God, we're talking about you. Firmly planted in the land. Why am I making an issue out of this? Because the times we are living in today are treacherous. We have to know that we know that God is with us right now. Things are happening around us in our country that we're not used to. We're not talking politics. We're just talking, it seems like the whole world is starting to spin off on its axis. I'm hearing more news people saying good is evil and evil is good than I've heard in a long time. Even the general public is confused by today. The general public is so confused that they want to take a couple scriptures out of our Bible and tell you that come Monday when there's an eclipse, that's the end of the world. Well, where are the two witnesses first in Jerusalem? I'm not even going to get into it. Let not your heart be troubled. Okay? Yes, there are some people out there that are quoting some scripture that has been in the ministry for a while and they're caught up in it. But one of the things that really floored me that when I started to watch this is they're saying the moon traversed over in 2000 and whatever, and now it's coming over again and it's creating an X. I got news for you. I love astrology. I love looking at Saturn. I love looking at Jupiter. The moon has traversed this planet so many times you can't find a space where it hasn't covered the Earth with an X. Okay? Don't get caught up. Don't get drug off point. This is exactly what we've talked about in the past, where Satan wants you to focus on something. Oh no. Appreciate the entire garden that God has got you in at this time. The next verse, I'd like to go to is 34. Don't be impatient for the Lord to act. Keep traveling steadfastly along this path. In due season, He will honor you with every blessing, and you will see the wicked destroyed. I don't know if it needs much explaining there. That's pretty straightforward. That He's going to be with us. Keep traveling. Keep doing what you're doing. So when we get down a little bit further, we get into 36 and 37. I myself have seen it happen. What's he talking about? Sin destroyed. The previous verse. He's talking about sin destroyed. And he talks about a cedar of Lebanon. What David was pointing out here is I've seen some really big mouth people with a lot of money, making a lot of noise, and they died off, and they didn't make a difference. That's what David was saying. He was saying, keep on doing what you're doing. The first thing is, we must have faith that God is working in you. You must make this the absolute in your life, that God is working in you without a doubt. You have to love Him, is another way of saying it, with your heart, soul, and mind. Scripture says to love Him in truth and spirit. truth and spirit. You know? Sometimes we get hung up on what sin is. But if it's a sin to you, Scripture says it's a sin to you. And it's not wrong for you to go to God about what you feel that you have no control over in your life. Nothing. It's too small for Him. Remember? Nothing is too impossible. But of course, you do love Him. That's why we're here, to hear His Word and what these words mean to each one of us. Because you've already turned your life over to Him. So let go of the hesitation and accept His hand in your life. Allow me to say it this way. When we bent our knees to receive God's offered salvation, He covered you by the death of His Son, the price paid to cover our sins entirely. For our every wrong, the price He paid covered you with righteousness. Here's the part. Understand this. His righteousness that is covering you is the righteousness of Jesus. Understand this. Accept this. It's Jesus' righteousness. Satan cannot get to you without going to Jesus first. The righteousness you wear is Jesus' righteousness. We've all come short, but He's covering us. So when you start thinking, my life is just one bad experience after another, no. Satan, like I said, must go through Christ. You are covered by Jesus. This is so very real. It is absolutely real. In verse 28, he says, He loves justice, fairness, and will not abandon you. And then he says the wicked. Remember I said the wicked? Some equate provisions of God as being self-serving statements. Statements like, God will finance whatever will further the kingdom of God. How about, God will come alongside of our plans to reach the lost, so buy our books, everyone. Follow us. What we need to do, first we will get some publicity. And then we'll get a public speaker to present our products. And then as soon as we get some money in our hands, we'll plan our next move for God. Do you hear what I'm talking about? That is evil. That is merchandising God. You're not saying, God, send me where you will send me. Use me how you will send me. I'm yours. We've seen the dreamers. We've seen the schemers. Those who would merchandise and destroy the Word of God. It seems to me the Scripture says, your plans will be exposed. Haven't we seen this time and time again with different groups, organizations bringing food in to areas, and all of a sudden that we find on the news that they've got a whole bunch of food sitting on the end of a runway, and people have just contributed thousands and thousands of dollars to Puerto Rico, and the food goes to waste. That's putting it in God's hands. Yes. Don't be divided. If you've been supporting God and what you've done for God has been supporting God and it's worked, stay with it. Stay working it. God does have a plan. He's been working it from the beginning of time. And everything that He has put in the Bible has thus far come true. I think He has a much better plan. So before we get off and recreate the wheel, let's look at God's provisions. You might notice when we talk about some of these things that God actually has plans and patterns in His provisions. And maybe, just maybe, He's already provided for what you're trying to do. And you just might have missed it. So let's take some examples from the Bible. Let's not get microscopic about it. Let's take it from a treetop level. One account in Exodus, God provided quail and water to the Israelites in the desert. Now, I know that many preachers have preached many stories out of this, and it's a treasure house of words of God and examples of God. But most of all, the most important thing we have to realize right here is God provided. They asked for food. They asked for meat, and He gave it to them. Everything, all things work to the glory of God. Every trial. I'll tell you what, Jesus stepped out in the same type of faith. In Matthew 17, Jesus told Peter, give me the money for the temple taxes. Is that how He put it? No. He said, Peter, go down to the water and take the gold out of the fish's mouth and pay our taxes. Now, that doesn't that seem a little odd to you since Judas was right there with him? He had a bag of money. Jesus could have just said, Judas, no, Jesus knew Peter. Jesus knew Peter. Peter did not know Peter at that time. Jesus was putting into Peter an unbelievable faith. He was going to do something that was unbelievable. He was going to go down and take money out of a fish's mouth to pay their tribute to the church. Why? Why, first of all, was Jesus making a point of this? Two things. One, the faith He instilled in Peter. But second of all, the money that Jesus had in His possession was already given to His ministry. It was already allocated for His ministry. This was something that came out of the blue. And second of all, He wanted a witness to the people of the temple. Because this was supposed to be a roadblock for Him coming into town. They were supposed to stop Him from being able to come into town if He didn't pay His taxes. I think Jesus pretty much took care of that problem. So when Jesus made that statement, He was saying one final thing, that other thing that I'm talking about. That other thing was He called upon the Father for provisions. Jesus called out of the clear blue for provisions. As far as we're concerned, Father knew it was coming. I'm not trying to say He didn't. He knows. But He called for them. That means we can call for provisions. We can call on God. Follow me. What about when we're doing God's work? Well, how about Nehemiah? One of my favorite guys. Nehemiah had a heart for his hometown, Jerusalem. And everybody that came through, he would ask them, have you heard news from Jerusalem? When he finally heard that Jerusalem was destroyed, he was, what? He was broken. His whole childhood, everything that he remembered was now gone. It was now broken. And when the king seen it, the king said, what's with you? And he tells him the story. Provisions. I'm telling you, provisions are plus here. That king provided finances. He provided security. He gave the king's covering. He gave him guard to go across the lands where they were robbing people. That's why he gave him a letter of credit, so he could build it. He sent letters to other kings to send timbers to build this place. I would say that's provisions plus. But the most important thing is the preparation. When you read the story, there wasn't much preparation. There was a longing. So Nehemiah gets all the way to Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you how God prepared him. You got everything to do this battle. And now I'm going to take you out in the darkness. Out into the domain of Satan himself, the darkness. That's why that's written that way in Scripture. And when he got there, his mule, or his ride, his donkey, could not make one step. There was not one stone upon the other. God was pointing out the evidence that Satan was in the light about what he had done to Jerusalem. He was ecstatic about what he had done in Jerusalem. What was he going through? He was being prepared for the battle. He was being prepared to know that he was going. It wasn't going to be, hey everybody, let's rebuild Jerusalem, shall we? No. God was showing him before he went in there and thought everybody would be excited about, as he was, about rebuilding Jerusalem, that it wasn't going to be an easy walk. Not one stone upon another. What delight. Have you ever seen anybody that got so fervent when they got angry and they tore up a letter or they tore up something? You know what I'm talking about. That's what Satan did here. When we read the scriptures, they're full of stories and victories with God. But there's also stories where Satan tries to deceive us. The prodigal son is a good example of that. The prodigal son went out, took his money and everything else, but what has that to do with this? When we read verse 26, it says, in the end, the children are blessed. The father prayed just like any one of us would pray for a child that goes out. I'm showing you that God walked with that child, protected that child, and brought that child home. Not just us wandering in the wilderness and coming back to God, but our children that we pray over come home. And his father treated him blessed. Cooked the fatted cow, gave him the ring, gave him the robe, and gave him the slippers. I want you to remember, God knows you. God knows Peter. God knows me. What God wants to make sure of before he puts you in a position to where you become PSD in the event, or you get just totally overwhelmed, God wants to make sure that you know who you are going into battle. Who you are walking through this world. So, again, who are you in Jesus? Where are we all? We're his friend. He's our Lord. There's no other answer. We love him. I love him. It was the hardest thing for me to admit to the entire world that I love Jesus. It was the hardest thing for me to understand that what I was expressing was agape. Now, here's strength. This is strength God gives us. And I'm going to close on this. I had a 33-year-old son in my life. And the day his brother called me and told me that he had just died, was a defining moment in my relationship with God. You see, I was amazed. I was taken with what happened next. I fell to my knees and I thanked God. That wouldn't have been me years ago. See, I accept what he is doing in my life. No matter how overwhelming it is, I no longer want to object about the good things he wants to do for me and how he gets us all there, how he gets us there is an individual one. So who are you with Jesus? Lord Jesus, we come to you and we thank you for this opportunity to share your word. We look forward to this evening as the opportunity for others in this community to witness one and to another. Lord, give us the strength and the faith to stand reverently in your house for you, because of you, and by you. Amen and amen and amen. Kathy, do you have a closing hymn?